Hey guys, this is Kenan Thompson. I have a problem with you. Yes, you. None of y'all told me that Auto Trader has millions of new and used cars that I can shop from home. I thought we were friends. I put smiles on your face, but I'm not smiling. No one told me that with Auto Trader, a dealer can deliver cars to my home or that I could shop by price on Auto Trader. No one. Consider this friendship that you just learned we had officially over. Finally, it's easy. Auto Trader.
What's up, everybody? Nick Costos here. College basketball is about to get crazy, and BetQL makes it easier than ever to cash your bets. BetQL analyzes every single tournament matchup so you can succeed with your bracket pools and individual game bets. Which teams will pull off an upset? Who's going to cover the spread? BetQL handles all the hard work so you can win more consistently. Head to BetQL.com today to start your 3-day free trial. That's BetQL.com. BetQL.com today to start your 3-day free trial.
What more could you ask for to tip off the Sweet 16 in New York and Las Vegas? A game that goes into overtime at Madison Square Garden between Michigan State and Kansas State. An NCAA tournament record 19 assists by the Kansas State point guard. We'll get to that coming up. But then Blue Bloods as well in Las Vegas. Gonzaga versus UCLA with these wild momentum swings. The Bruins up by 13 in the first half. Gonzaga puts together a classic run to go up by 10 in the second half, only to see the Bruins rally for a one-point lead. Are you kidding? It was still hanging in the balance with seconds to go.
Strother will get it in. Salas picks it up. Clock starts. 11 seconds. Salas across the timeline. Pitch it back, Strother. Deep three from the top of the key. Got it! Oh, he hit it! Strother from the top. 7 seconds left. Campbell on the run. Into the front court. Drives the right side. Stripped away! Strother's got it. Fouled with 1.1 to go. The Vegas native pulls up from deep and puts Gonzaga in the lead and then gets a steal at the other end. Strother walking, staring into the crowd. What a shot by Strother, who has had a tough night with his heels in the March Madness logo, drills a three. And with 1.1 to go, he can ice it. Gonzaga leads 78-76.
The play was little dribble handoff action, see if we could, get a defense on their heels a bit. And initially when Coach drew it, he kind of drew, just search it a little bit, maybe go downhill. And I kind of just asked him, like, can I shoot it? Like, if no one steps up on me, like, do you want me to shoot it? And he was like, absolutely. So then I shot it.
No one stepped up on him with his heel on the logo. That's Julian Strother, who is a Vegas native. Wowzers. The Calls with Ryan Radke on the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence in the wake of these really incredible games to get at least half of our final or our lead eight all set. We're pleased to welcome Arash Markazi, who was posted up on the corner of the court at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. He is the founder and CEO of the Sporting Tribune. And Arash, I watched your videos on your Twitter. Man, those are phenomenal. So what was your perspective? Take us through those final few moments as this game between UCLA and Gonzaga is hanging in the balance.
I mean, you touched on it, Amy. I mean, it was an incredible, like, wave of emotions where UCLA takes this big, 13-point lead at the half. Gonzaga's up, 10, 2.5 to go. UCLA comes back. And then when UCLA comes back, you're thinking, that's it. The amazing thing is Julian Strother was really the local story. I mean, this was the, prodigal son returning home. And so, I mean, he did so many, group interviews during practice on Wednesday. And then you could kind of feel that he was perhaps tight tonight, just really not performing well. So when he shot that shot, I think everyone on press row is thinking, like, I know you're struggling, son, but what are you doing? And then he hits it, and it was the most incredible thing. It was straight out of a movie, and then gets the steal, gets fouled, and immediately after that goes up to his father, hugs his father, and says, this is my city. This is my city. I mean, this was a young man who lost his mom at the age of 9, but was really one of the high school heroes here. So everyone in Las Vegas knew about him. Again, you know, didn't play well for the majority of the game, but then, man, did he come on strong late.
Final 7 seconds. He has the three-pointer to put Gonzaga ahead, but then also has a steal and a free throw just to be sure. So, Arash, when I was watching your videos, I love the roar because you're on the court or right off the corner of the court, and so you're at court level. The fans are up and above you. I couldn't tell if it was a pro-UCLA or a pro-Gonzaga crowd. What did it sound like to you?
So, Amy, pro-UCLA, but only because of the connection with Los Angeles and Vegas. Again, it's a half-hour flight. It's a three-hour drive. And so there was a lot of UCLA fans. That being said, I mean, this has become Gonzaga's home away from home come conference tournament time. And, again, this was a very significant night in Las Vegas, by the way. The first time that they had hosted an Elite Eight,
yes,
16 NCAA tournament. So, you know, generally speaking, if you're a Gonzaga fan, you know you're saving up for the conference tournament. They run that conference tournament in Vegas. I really get a sense that you're going to see a lot more Gonzaga fans. Again, if you didn't see them tonight on Thursday night, they're going to pack that place. I mean, this has really become their home away from home.
What changed for Gonzaga and UCLA in the second half?
It's a great question, and I mean there was so many like ebbs and flows in this game. The interesting thing was what Mark Few said was this was the tempo that they wanted. This was the tempo that they were comfortable with, and they felt that, listen, UCLA, I mean, it's been well documented, you know, not at full strength.
Right.
They really felt that at some point in time, them going six deep, they're gonna tire out. But, you know, to be honest, like even as I'm saying that, I'm like, this was just a classic game. So it really came down to the last shot. And so maybe if there was a few more seconds on the clock, UCLA would have found a way to win. But again, you know, 17 years to the day, Amy, from that, like, Adam Morrison shot. And by the way, he's now doing color commentary, so he was courtside. These two schools have played some classic NCAA tournament games.
Mm. Arash Markazi of the Sporting Tribune is with us from Las Vegas following these two games that couldn't have been more different and yet were very entertaining. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. The saltiness, maybe a little spiciness from Mick Cronin after the game was well documented. What happened? Because he seemed to indicate, and I saw it on your Twitter as well, that the post game press conferences weren't in the order that he was used to or would have expected.
And so I got corrected, but here's what generally happens. And I mean, I've covered a lot of these events over the years. You know, the team that loses, they just want to go home. They want to, like, either go back home. They want to go back to the hotel. The Gonzaga press conference, I felt, went a little bit longer than it should have. We're post-COVID. I mean, they took about 6 questions, like, on Zoom. So the people in the room asked all their questions.
Huh.
They took a bunch of questions over Zoom. Listen, I know Mick Cronin's frustrated, but I can understand, you know, if you have to wait like a half hour, I totally get his frustration there. But, that was a very short press conference. The players didn't really talk a whole lot. Mick didn't really want to expand on what had happened. You know, listen, quite frankly, he was upset with the officiating. I did not see anything wrong with the officiating tonight. He was upset that they weren't at full strength. Can't do anything about that. So,
right.
Yeah, it was unfortunate because, listen, they've had such a great season, and it really came down to one miraculous shot.
Who was the biggest star? And I don't mean basketball or sports. I mean, who was the biggest celebrity that you saw there in Vegas for these games today?
Well, it was Bill Murray. I mean, I'm very excited. I'm a big Bill Murray fan. And what I love about him is just the absolute pride and joy that he has in his son, Luke, as an assistant coach at UConn. Because he could just be that the dad who's, you know, quiet, or maybe he's sitting in a suite. I mean, he's there row one behind the bench, losing his mind. And then the funny thing was, during the UCLA-Gonzaga game, they invited him to sit with the coaches and scout the game. And the funny thing was, like, Luke was talking to his dad about, you know, pointing out what Gonzaga's doing. And so just from a father-son perspective, yes, Bill Murray's a comedic genius. Yeah, I'm a huge fan. But just the absolute pride that he took in his son's success was so cool to see.
That's awesome. All right, let's talk about the UConn win. They make quick work of Arkansas. And what I thought was really impressive was how the Huskies and their aggressive mentality kind of kept the Arkansas defense chasing, because that's what they want to do. They want the game to be ugly. And yet it's the opposite of what happened. The Huskies played some really pretty basketball. When did this start to get out of hand?
It was so early, and you're thinking that, like, Arkansas is going to find a way to come back. But really, like, Amy, it went from, you know, 10 to 12 to 20 to 25, almost 30. By the way, give UConn a ton of credit. I mean, they've really done this throughout the tournament. They have not played a close game. I'm hopeful, and I fully expect a close game on Saturday against Gonzaga. But UConn's really gone from being like a very good team, obviously, but to a team that, I mean, there's no team, I don't think, in the country that's playing as well as they are, because it's really a testament to them come tournament time. As we saw in the UCLA-Gonzaga game, you can lose, or you can gain and lose a 12, 13-point lead quickly. What UConn has found a way to do during this tournament, they go up by 12, they'll find a way to go up by 20, 25, and so again, unfortunately for Arkansas, great fan base, you know, but they never had a moment to enjoy their trip to the Sweet 16.
You mentioned Vegas, and we know there's a bunch of events that are cycling through Vegas now that it's got T-Mobile Arena and obviously Allegiant Stadium. So the Pro Bowl was there. The draft is headed there. We've got NCAA tournament basketball. There's always been golf. There's NASCAR. I mean, it is a full-fledged pro sports and college sports mecca now.
Not only that, Amy, by the way, the NCAA tournament's not the biggest event in town this weekend. Taylor Swift, back-to-back concert at Allegiant Stadium.
Oh, my
gosh.
Both
of them are sold out. Both of them going for upwards of $700 a ticket.
What?
So, yes, while me as a sports fan, I'm very happy about the tournament being here. The Swifties, they have taken over Las Vegas.
So I can imagine it's some kind of buzz there this weekend with the mix.
Yeah.
Although Vegas is used to that. It's not like Vegas is a stranger to that type of an atmosphere. But yeah, I mean, even the Super Bowl is headed there. So right now it's a major sports destination.
100%. So there's two big events here happening, Amy. The Formula One Grand Prix. That is the biggest event. When I tell you the prices for some of these tickets,
wow.
I've never seen multi-million dollar packages. And some of these packages are, you'll have a private chef, you'll have a private car, this, that, and the other. That takes place in November. Then in February, I can't even imagine this. And the locals here are still in, like, they don't know what to think. The Super Bowl is coming to Vegas. Generally speaking, if you can't be at the Super Bowl, the next best place to be is in Vegas. You go to a sports book. It's a great time. The actual Super Bowl will be on the Las Vegas Strip. It's crazy.
Believe it or not, and I admit this sometimes, people think I'm nutso, I've never been to Vegas. And so,
Amy, you gotta come.
I know. So when we're out there, because After Hours will be there for the Super Bowl come next February, when we're out there, it will be my first time ever. And I know I'll be overwhelmed. I won't be able to see and visit and take it all in, everything, but I can't wait. It feels like that's the right time to go ahead and see everything Vegas has to offer, or as much as they can cram into Super Bowl week.
Well, the beautiful thing about being in Vegas for your show, 12 midnight is a perfectly, totally normal time. Everyone's happening. When I was talking to your producer, normally 12 midnight, you know, Pacific time, I'm usually in bed. Listen, I'm in Vegas now. The night has just begun.
There you go. Well, we're so excited to steal a few minutes with you, Arash. You can find him on Twitter at Arash Markazi, M-A-R-K-A-Z-I. He's the Sporting Tribune. In fact, he is the Sporting Tribune, the founder and the CEO, and he's a Vegas regular. And he's got some really incredible videos from the corner of the court, UCLA Gonzaga, going down to the wire. Thank you for a few minutes. It's always good to talk to you, my friend.
Amy, you're the best. I'll talk to you soon.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Yes. He says in Vegas, you got to stay up late. Well, that fits us perfectly because it is exactly 12:15. Well, 12:15, I want to say a.m., but it's not really a.m. If it's 12:15 and you're still awake, it's your well, you know what I mean. It's your Thursday night. It's still my Thursday night. I tend to stay on Pacific time because it just fits the lifestyle a little bit better. My body doesn't know that. That's another story altogether. But really cool that we've got games and events that are now making Vegas legit. It's no longer just about the gambling. Obviously, they were the first place, the OG when it comes to sports gambling and sports books. But because that is spread out around the country where the majority of states now have legalized gambling, Vegas is getting into the more legit sports business. And I'm being tongue-in-cheek. But with a pro hockey team and obviously the Raiders there with Allegiant Stadium and the number of events they're attracting because they've got world-class facilities, there could be more. I wouldn't be surprised if we see more, whether it's pro or whether it's just more events that show up there because of the facilities. They've obviously got the hotels to be able to handle the influx of people. And as Arash points out, there's always some type of concert, whether in residency or traveling. I personally want to go out there and visit the Hoover Dam. I know that makes me a total nerd, but some of the incredible hiking and the desert, the golf that I've heard about Las Vegas. So yeah, I'll get out there at the very least next February. That's a promise, by the way. Write it down. Anyone want to write it down? Don't put it past me. Just trust me. Take my word for it. You should see Jay's face right now. You're not putting it past me, are you?
Oh, absolutely not.
I'm scheming. Don't you worry.
Plotting.
I've been plotting for sure. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You can't care what people think. No matter what people say to you, it can't change you. You can't allow it to change you. How about the guy who said to me, "You should give me some more respect. I am the guest."
Hey, I am the guest on the show, so show me a little bit of respect.
No, bye, buddy. See ya.
Haters gonna hate.
You can embarrass yourself in front of the entire country. I have no trouble with that. We get a lot of people who hate Amy Lawrence. Shake it off, because you can't please everybody.
Was not as open-minded, but I've been listening to you and giving time before I called in, and I'd like to say, you doing your own thing. There's gonna be a bunch of haters. Don't worry about what they're saying. I think you're doing a great job. I'm just gonna shake, 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 shake.
Call Amy at 855-212-4CBS.
I am not a Swiftie. I'll just make that declaration. She obviously has built an empire and is extremely popular, and you don't cross Swifties because they will come after you in droves. They're worse than sports radio animals. Coming after you on social media. The Swifties, they unite and they'll get incensed and enraged if they feel as though their queen or they are being wronged. So just beware of the Swifties. Yeah, she's talented. I will give her that. I think I just outgrew the music a little bit, but I know we have a lot of people who work in our building who absolutely adore Taylor Swift. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. So Taylor is in Vegas along with the NCAA tournament. First time ever, Elite Eight games, and that'll be coming up. Well, Sweet 16 games, an Elite Eight game coming up on Saturday. So the very next game in Vegas, college basketball, comes up on Saturday between Gonzaga and UConn. And man, yet another one where I think, whew, this could go a variety of ways. Now, the games on Friday, you've got coming from Louisville and coming from Kansas City. So more in the center of this great United States. And the 2-1 seeds that are remaining will be the first two to get on the court. So Alabama is taking on San Diego State. That's a 1-5 matchup, as is Houston and Miami. So those are your early games on Friday But I know the one you're all excited about, the one you're most looking forward to, Princeton. The Tigers are still dancing, and they will take on Creighton. That's the second game in Louisville. And if you missed my conversation with Zach Martini, a junior from the Princeton squad, you want to go back and listen to that because they're calm. They are not only a team that's poised and feels like they can handle pressure, but it's not by accident. I mean, there's a method to the Princeton madness, to be sure. So if you missed that, it's part of our podcast, and you can find the links on Twitter, After Hours CBS or A-Law Radio, and then also on our Facebook page. It is still Thursday, National Puppy Day, in two of our time zones, Alaska and Hawaii. So for you who are in those two time zones, well, you know, go check out my photo of Penny because she's still a puppy at heart. It's now up on our Facebook page. It was on Twitter earlier on Thursday evening. But yeah, both Twitter and Facebook, and it's her happy place and her favorite activity. Well, actually, two of her favorite activities combined, but I'm not going to tell you what they are. You'll have to go check it out on social media to see. This is actually a photo of Penny I just took last weekend, so it's the most recent one I have of her. And then our YouTube video, we promised you that we would have it up. It's actually shorter. I don't know why we were not feeling the need to elaborate, but maybe because we were in a really small space. Jay and I were sitting on the floor, and my phone, which was the video camera, was propped on a chair in front of us, about a foot and a half away from us, because we wanted really clear audio. We were in a studio, but there wasn't a whole lot of room, and so we were actually sitting on the floor in a corner with the chair kind of blocking us into this corner. So maybe that's why it was quick, because it was a small space, and Jay's claustrophobic. That might be why.
It was tight. It was tight in there.
We also had some props, but you're going to have to check those out on the video. And then Jay did a great job with some of the fun graphics. So he added graphics, and we had props, and it's I would say it's most compelling postseasons in sports, most entertaining postseasons in sports. You can use best, you can use favorites. It's the latest in our Stairway to Seven series. Now we're up to episode 4. And just as a reminder, if you love producer Jay, I mean, you all love producer Jay. He by far is the more popular member of this team. In fact, whenever I get on Jay's case, oh no, you're such a bully, leave poor Jay alone. Oh yes, poor Jay. Let's leave poor Jay alone. Oh my gosh.
I'm not saying anything.
No, you better not say anything. You know, as a matter of fact, that you're treated very well, so you wouldn't dare.
Royalty.
Royalty, exactly. A son of the king in there. So anyway, Jay's fine. Don't have to worry about Jay or his ego or his anything. He's well-fed. All he eats is candy. All he drinks is soda.
Well,
the man is fine. Well, well-fed by your standards. You're the one that told me that.
No, I'm not hungry, but yeah, well-fed is, but yeah.
I mean, you can eat broccoli anytime you want.
Yeah, it's out there. It's available.
It is. And when we get to 4,000 subscribers, so that brings me back to producer Jay. Jay loves YouTube. When we get to 4,000 subscribers on our YouTube channel, we're getting there. We're inching our way toward that number. When we get there, though, Jay has agreed to eat a gigantic dish of broccoli and nothing on it except for salt and pepper and maybe a little bit of olive oil. He can't fry it. He can't put cheese whiz all over it. He can't cover it in anything else. No sauce. So no sweet and sour sauce, no barbecue sauce, no butter. Nope. All you're allowed to do is drizzle some olive oil and salt and pepper. That's it.
Steam it.
That's how you have to eat it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. This isn't just raw, like off the shelf, right?
No, raw's a little crunchy. I do sometimes put raw broccoli in my salads, but raw's a little crunchy.
Definitely
it's supposed to be cooked broccoli or steamed broccoli.
Okay, yeah, I can do that.
But there are going to be pictures of this because I don't trust you to go home one day and be like, yeah, I did it. No.
I'll take a picture of the plate before and a plate of the picture after.
No. There's going to be a video of you eating it. No, not done. You would give it to Moose, your bulldog, and then pretend like it was all gone.
I don't know if he likes that, actually.
Yeah, well, I don't trust you. As far as I can see you when it comes to vegetables.
All right.
When I bring blueberries to work, which is most nights, Jay will eat one blueberry a week.
Because
like
I don't want them.
One. I know. You don't eat any fruits and vegetables. You refuse. When was the last time you had a fruit that wasn't Sour Patch?
Not in a few days.
in a few days? How about a few months?
I had some salsa with tacos. Does that count? It's like basically a salad.
There's something wrong with you. I don't know why I even bothered to have a conversation with you. It's like having a conversation with a telephone pole when it comes to this. It's just, and Marco's laughing, but I'm telling you, his teeth are going to fall out before he's 40.
He weighs like 15 pounds. He can do whatever he wants at that point.
Really? So it's okay if you're thin, but you have no teeth?
His teeth will be fine.
Would you let your child eat nothing but candy and drink soda and no vegetables or fruits ever?
No, but I'm also the guy that doesn't drink soda, doesn't eat candy, eats fruits and vegetables all the time, and I'm the big fatty in the room.
Yeah, but at least you're healthy.
He weighs 16 pounds.
Not,
so what's
first
the difference?
Of all, you're not. Because thin does not equate to health. Thin and healthy are not the same thing. I'm just telling you, they're not. You and I are, I mean, we're different body types than him. I have to be careful what I eat, too, but I also want to be healthy.
He looks like he's doing fine.
I feel pretty good.
Again, see, just because on the outside he's thin does not mean he's healthy.
He knows what's
on the
going
inside.
On inside, though. His body's
does
not
he?
Crying out, right?
Does he?
I'm all right.
All right. At 31 years old, doesn't eat a lick of vegetables or fruit. Just saying, it's not going to be sustainable. Someday he'll come back to me
Cross
and be
that
like,
bridge when we get there.
I wish that I had listened to you. But
I mean, I guess honestly, some of that stuff sounds like the stuff that I used to hear forever. You keep wearing that hat, you're going to lose your hair. Really? Now I'm 45.
Oh, I'm sorry. So you really don't think that vegetables and fruits are a necessary part of anyone's diet?
No, it is. But my point is, if he's fine and if he's healthy and he looks good,
you don't know
what's
happening
difference?
On the inside.
I think you said it. Everybody's a little different. His body apparently doesn't need that to sustain.
I work him in there once in a while.
Okay, when?
I don't need to explain when I eat fruits and vegetables.
Of course not, because you don't. You can't remember the last time. All right, coming up, Michigan State and Kansas State, because it was a wild affair that went into overtime at Madison Square Garden and actually featured multiple New York natives, which is super cool. You can find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. There's a Penny photo. She's not posing, but she's engaging in her favorite activities. Also, our latest YouTube video, because I know you love Jay and he loves YouTube. So there's your connection.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Weatherspoon, head fake, goes around his man, kicks it out to Martin. He'll try the three. It's good! Elijah Martin with a tray. He's got 9, and FAU leads by 7. 48-41 with 7:20 to go, and Rick Barnes needs a timeout.
Here's Boyd out near center court, guarded by Meshack. Comes to his left all the way to the bucket, lays it up with the left hand and in. Nick Boyd now with 10. And FAU back up by 10. Vescovi gets by him, kicks it out to James. He'll try a three. It's good. Big shot, Josiah Jordan James. His first points of the second half to get Tennessee within 5.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Early on, this was the exact tempo the Volunteers wanted. Their tough defense, which is rated number 1 in the country by KenPom, if you know what that is. Their statistical defense is best in the nation. And they were really working on Florida Atlantic. And the shots weren't falling. But then, this is what happens very often, especially in this age of basketball. If you can get a couple of triples to drop, what you do is you open up the defense and you force the defense to spread. And then they oftentimes are chasing if the ball is swinging around the perimeter, trying not to leave guys open, but also the idea of trying to double and trying to trap. And so if you can make threes, it forces a defense to guard straight up and to go man on man, or if there's a particular zone, but it does tend to take away the element of trapping and also helping, because then you end up scrambling around. If you're facing a team that not only is hitting a few from the outside, but is able to move the ball quickly to find an open shooter. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Gary Cohen from Madison Square Garden on the Westwood One NCAA Radio Network. Once Florida Atlantic found some seams and made some shots, this game took a decided turn in which you could really start to see. It's funny because I want to say you could literally see, but you couldn't literally see it. You could just feel it and know the momentum was shifting.
Out to the wing to James, fakes the three, moves right, takes the three. It comes up short, but right into the hands of Meshack, but he's stripped. It comes out to Vescovi, though, for three, no good. And the rebound, Davis taps it to himself. Downcourt Boyd drives from the left, lays it in. Nick Boyd off the feed from John L. Davis, and FAU leads by 7, 57-50 with 2:20 to go.
The Owls take the lead by, again, with the three-pointers that open things up, and then Nick Boyd able to get inside for what is a huge layup. And there was also this second-half surge that was spurred on by Michael Forrest. They were able to move the ball around, spread the ball around, get different guys involved. So this wasn't about one superstar. It wasn't about one guy who took over. Instead, it was a total team effort for the Owls. On the NCAA radio network from Westwood One, just the second tournament in the 30-year history of Florida Atlantic. And this year, three wins to get into the Elite Eight. So it stands to... I love owls.
Can you guess which kind of owl that is?
A hoot owl? Nope.
That would be a spotted owl.
Well, how am I supposed to guess that? That sounds like a monkey.
That would be a Eurasian eagle owl.
Just so you know, Jay is very learned when it comes to owls. So yes, first three wins, initial Elite Eight for Florida Atlantic. And I love it. I love it because even though they're a 9 seed, they're definitely a Cinderella. And yet what typically happens with these teams that kind of shock the world, quote unquote, is that they believe in themselves. They have this belief and this foundation that keeps them grounded, and great leadership like Dusty May, who's been doing a ton of interviews since the selection show as the head coach for the Owls.
After the first seven minutes or so, we felt like we really settled in and played good basketball despite the score at half. We felt like we were playing our type of game. We got back to moving the ball. We were playing with great physicality. We did an unbelievable job on the glass in the first half despite our size. And it's a testament to how hard these guys play and their drive and determination.
It sounds just right, man. We were where we're supposed to be. We're going to keep moving, keep working. We're going to stay humble and hungry. I mean, y'all can't count us out no more, man. We here to stay, and we're going to keep fighting no matter who we line up against, who we play. I got a group of brothers that play together, and I feel like there's nobody in the country that loves each other like we do and works like us. So we're going to keep making statements.
How about that? I feel like there's no team in the country that loves each other as much as we do. I often mention this, but chemistry is not built based on one particular formula. Sometimes it's about a group of guys that have worked through adversity. Sometimes it's about a common goal. Sometimes it really is about personalities that mesh really well. Sometimes it's more about leadership, and it doesn't matter whether or not the personalities mesh. Winning definitely helps, but chemistry is a key ingredient in a team that has it. And the Florida Atlantic Owls definitely have it. Now, 34 wins in one season, that is rarefied air for any team. It doesn't matter what part of the country, blue blood or Cinderella, 34 wins in one season is an incredible percentage. And really, they've been able to capitalize on that in the experience of winning together. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. Michael Forrest with the 8 points in what was a significant surge from down to leading the charge in the second half.
We got a group of guys that no matter what night it is, somebody's going to step up and make the big plays. So everybody stays together through the ups and downs, so that's really what separates us. All the work that everybody puts in, all the hours and hard work that everyone puts into it, it can be anybody's night. So everybody just stays together all the time.
Everybody just stays together all the time. There isn't a team in the country that loves each other like we do. Man, that's awesome. And their defense was also good. I mean, that's not what they're known for as much as Tennessee, but the Vols only go 6 of 23 from beyond the arc, so really could never find a rhythm. And sometimes that is about exerting so much energy on the defensive end that you just don't have it on the offensive end.
When they started scoring, our offense wasn't very good, and we gave up too many drives, and then along with that, offensive rebounds where we let them get downhill, and a couple situations where those we did a better job in the second half staying down on shot fakes early in the first half. That's why we were getting into so much rotation, because we were leaving our feet. Went under a few ball screens, but I thought offensively, and we needed to continue to put pressure on them at the rim, whether it was throwing it inside or whether it was driving the ball, and we didn't do enough of that.
That's Rick Barnes, who has taken four different schools to NCAA tournaments, but seemingly runs into this glass ceiling that is the Elite Eight in the Final Four regardless. Doesn't have the same track record, and so it's become a tagline next to his name: cannot get teams to the Final Four, which is unfair, of course, but that's how he's been branded. So if they ever got there, he would definitely be a sentimental favorite. For Josiah Jordan James, he wants people to know that there's more to Tennessee than stats and figures and coming up short.
We've been through so much in the past, you know, however long the season's been going on. And I feel like a lot of people don't know all the things that we've been through internally. And so even to make it this far is a blessing. I mean, people have counted us out after the second game that we lost to Colorado. They told us our season was over then. But, you know, we didn't hear any of that. We heard it, but we didn't listen to it. We stayed resilient. And I think that if you guys or everybody outside of our locker room knew all the things that we went through, they'd be, you know, proud of us. I know we're proud of ourselves. We know we wanted more, but there's so much stuff that went on that, you know, injuries and people in and out the lineup where a lot of people would just quit. But I give a lot of credit to my teammates and our coaching staff. Nobody in that locker room gave up on us. And I'm just so proud of my guys that we were able to reach it. Obviously, I'm disappointed, but I'm proud that we were able to come this far.
The thrill of victory. I can't speak right now. Something's wrong with me. Well, some things are wrong with me. I've got lots to say, and the words just aren't coming out quite the right way, the way that I want them to. So, you know, just nod and smile. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. What I meant to say, the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. We know that is the case because you're hearing the stark difference between Gonzaga and UCLA, and then hearing the difference between Dusty May and Rick Barnes with Florida Atlantic and Tennessee. And we still have some really cool stories, but you're starting to see more and more where, I guess I could say, the cream rises to the top. And this is what happens when you have a bunch of upsets early on, then generally it tends to stabilize and you get more toward the chalk. Now, the good news is with the transfer portal and with the changing landscape in college sports, but specifically speaking about basketball right now, I mean, you've got so many different leagues that are represented in the Sweet 16 alone, 11 of them. How about that? And you've also got a pair of one seeds, but twos and threes and fours and fives, all the way down to a double figure seed in Princeton that's a 15. So it's an incredible mix. It's eclectic. It's varied all over the country, different personalities, offense, defense. And a lot of times, and this has to do with the COVID year as well, you had a bunch of guys that lost a year or decided to stay in school an extra year because of what happened with COVID in 20 and then 21. And so they are now, in some cases, fifth-year seniors. There's even a couple of guys that are sixth-year seniors. it just is more about the experience then too, and having a little more age, right? A little less panic, a little more age. There are guys that are not just 20 and 21 in this tournament. There are guys that are 22, 23. There's one school that even had 25-year-old point guard. I mean, that's a big deal when you bring that kind of experience and generate a little more poise and steadiness to the basketball court, just because of the difference in a couple of years. By the way, I have to tell you my favorite owl story. Are you ready? I don't think it was one of those hootie owls there, but right now that sounds like something off of the Death Star. Like, do you hear the tinny behind it? What is that?
This is a Eurasian Scopes owl.
Nope, never heard that one. Never heard
sounds
that
like
one
a
either.
Droid.
That's what I'm saying. These sound like they're coming from Star Wars. Especially that first one with what was very tinny sounding behind it. Where's the owl?
That's a Ural owl.
What, can we just have a regular spotted owl?
I'm trying. They're giving me 10 hours of owl sounds. And like,
my favorite owl story ever. This is actually really neat. Last year, not quite this time, but in April, early April, the family was in Wisconsin, my Grammy's town, well, near Appleton, but not quite Appleton, little town next to Appleton, Wisconsin. And we were there for her 100th birthday. And of course, the day after her birthday was my birthday. So the family went out for a dinner on the day after. And my brother and I were getting back to our Airbnb, and it's 11 o'clock or so at night. And in the two very tall trees next to our Airbnb, there are two owls going back and forth. It was amazing. I've never heard two of them hoot to each other and call to each other, but they're in two different trees. They're up really high. We can only see one of them. We can't see them both, but they are hooting to each other. They're talking, and it's so dead quiet in this little town in Wisconsin at 11 o'clock at night. And these owls are having a conversation. It was amazing. It was like a birthday present just for me.
That is cool.
Oh, it was awesome. I probably started crying because that's what I do when I'm just overwhelmed with joy. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Planning a wedding is intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Design your dream suit at Indochino.com and use code PODCAST for 10% off any purchase of $399 or more. That's INDOCHINO.com code podcast.